shine. Krishna nama loya nache hon haya unmata acharya haile se tharila jagat. Even if women, children, old men, meat eaters, or members of the lowest caste can see you even once, they immediately chant the holy name of Krishna, dance like madmen, and become spiritual masters capable of delivering the whole world. Darshanera karya achuk ye tomar nam sune se Krishna peme mata thare tribhuvane. Apart from seeing you, whoever listens to your holy name is made mad with ecstatic love for Krishna and is able to deliver the three worlds. Tomar nama sune hoya swapacha pavan alokika shakti tomar nayai chakthakathan. Simply by hearing your holy name, dog eaters become holy saints. Your uncommon potencies cannot be described in words. Yan yanamadeya sravana kutirnad yat pravanad yat smaranad api kachit svadopi sadya savanaya kalpate kuta punaste bhagavan nutarshanat. To say nothing of the spiritual advancement of persons who see the Supreme Person face to face. Even a person born in a family of dog-eaters becomes immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices if he once utters the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or chants about him, hears about his pastimes, or offers him obeisances, or even remembers him. Eta mahima tomara tatasta lakshan swarupa lakshani tumi brajendra nandan. These glories of yours are only marginal. Originally, you are the son of Maharaj Nanda. This is the words of a group of very learned Brahmins who appear in these pages of the Madhya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How they appear and why they are speaking these most significant verses is a very beautiful and instructive story. It takes place at that most holy time when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his celebrated visit to Sri Vrindavan Dham. As we know, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none different than the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna who eternally reside in Goloka Vrindavan. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. That these two supreme aspects of the One Absolute Truth, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who have eternally separated in order to enjoy transcendental loving reciprocation, they have come together in one form again as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the Absolute Truth. He is the cause of all causes. From him everything emanates. But the supreme glory of God is not in his creation, maintenance, and annihilation of these material creations, but in the beautiful pastimes he exhibits in the spiritual world. Therefore, that one supreme absolute personality, Sri Krishna, expands himself into his personified pleasure potency, Srimati Radharani. Sri Radharani, although she is in the swarup of the topmost lover, Bhakti Rupa, the very embodiment of all bhakti or devotion. It is not that she is simply the greatest devotee, but she is Krishna, non-different. There is no difference between Radha and Krishna. But Sri Radharani is the feminine aspect of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, who is supremely meant for his supreme enjoyment. God's ultimate lila is that he is the supreme enjoyer. He is Rasa Raj. He is the king of all loving reciprocations. And Srimati Radharani is that divine embodiment which gives ultimate pleasure to the supreme enjoyer. So therefore, she is the supreme enjoyed. And in the land of Brajadham, they are eternally engaging in their divine lila. And all living entities, in their purified state of consciousness, their only activity, their only desire, their only aspiration is to simply assist Sri Sri Radha Gopinath in their divine loving lila. No one aspires for the position of Srimati Radharani. In the spiritual world, there is no envy. There is no greed. There is only love. And that love assumes the mood of service, becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani to make transcendental arrangements to increase the loving pastimes of the Lord and his eternal consort.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahayanya. That Radha Krishna have come together again in one form as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to demonstrate the perfection of bhakti in this age of Kali Yuga, which takes place by the simple process of chanting the holy names of Krishna. So although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, in the mood of Sri Radharani, he is playing the part of his devotee. He was born in Navadvip on the full moon night. And later on, by the arrangement of his mother, he resided in the holy land of Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. He was always aspiring throughout his days and nights to visit the holy land of Braja, his eternal home. And when alas he came to the holy land of Braja Bhumi, he exhibited the supreme bliss of loving emotions. Such emotions had never been seen, heard, or witnessed by any living creatures. Even the great demigods in the heavens, struck with wonder and stunned, they would simply watch in amazement the divine love of Sri Gaur Sundar as he roamed through the groves of Vrindavan. It is described he was living in Akrura Ghat, a place that was very quiet, a place that very few people would ever go to visit. And there he would meditate on the beautiful pastimes of Sri Krishna, and in great devotion he would chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He went to Vrindavan accompanied by his servant, Govinda. Now at one time, many of the local people, they were very much excited about the news that was spreading throughout the land that Lord Sri Krishna himself has personally appeared again in Vrindavan. And every evening he can be seen at Akrura Ghat on the Jamuna River, dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent. So day after day after day, the news was reaching the ears of Govinda. And Govinda became very anxious to witness this beautiful sight. So one day he approached Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he inquired, "My dear Lord, can we not go to see Krishna? He is appearing at the Akrura Ghat and he is dancing on the heads of Kaliya." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that in the age of Kali Yuga, Krishna appears only again in his form of Kalki Avatar. We have to understand when Krishna appears through Shastra, not through the sentiments of ordinary people. Of course, this is very instructive because today there are so many people who claim to be God or incarnations of the Lord. There are, especially in India, many, many, many persons who claim that in Treta Yuga they were Lord Sri Ramchandra, in Dwarpa Yuga Lord Krishna, and now at this particular immediate present time they are appearing as me. And if you want me to prove it, I can perform magical tricks. And foolish people, they believe, not only a few, but by the millions. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very strong. When anyone would call him Krishna, he would hold his ears and he would scream out at the top of his lungs, "Vishnu, Vishnu, save me." Everyone in this material world is here because they want to be God. Everyone wants to be the enjoyer. But Krishna is the only enjoyer. Therefore, as soon as someone confirms the illusion that we are God and calls us God, this is the greatest, greatest form of bondage and entanglement. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. We are eternally the servants of Krishna. We can never become Krishna. We never were, we are not, nor will we ever be. God is God. We are his parts and parcels. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bahunam Yobidati Kaman. We are eternally subordinate and dependent on the supreme mercy of Krishna. Of course, people have little mystic power and they claim to be God. But we read in the scriptures of so many persons with mystic powers. Many of them were demons and many of them were humble devotees. Many of them were just ordinary yogis. I'll give you one example of such a mystic yogi. His name was Sobari Muni. Sobari Muni was such a great, great mystic that he was living under the water of the Jamuna, sitting in samadhi meditation. And he could sit like that for hundreds of years. He had such perfection of the mystic sciences that he did not even need to breathe air. He did not even need the oxygen of a human being. But he could live underwater just like a fish or like a piece of seaweed. and sit engrossed in meditation. Of course, we know from the Shastra that such persons who fix their minds on any other object or any other goal, save and except the personality of Godhead, in due course of time, they must fall down from their spiritual practice. Unless Aruya Krishna Parampadam Tata Patyanti Natra. It is described in Bhagavatam, unless such persons in this liberated state taste the sweetness of the divine Leela of the Lord, they are forced by the very nature of their spirit soul to come again into this material world to find active loving enjoyment, loving reciprocation. So Subari Muni was a very great yogi. He had complete control of his senses and his mind. Through the practice of pranayama, asanas, pratyahara, dhyana, samadhi, he was able to completely subdue the mind and the active senses. But it is described that one day, while under the water, he saw two fish come together to enjoy sex life together. And when he saw the unity of these two fish, it awakened that dormant propensity for enjoyment within his heart. And he was no longer happy living underwater. He decided, I must find a good wife. In this way, I could become like the fish. So he came out of the water. Now, do you know what your skin would look like after being underwater for hundreds of years? It was very crinkled and wrinkled. So by his mystic power, he could understand what beautiful young lady would want an old, wrinkled yogi like me for a husband. He wanted a beautiful young princess for a wife. So he changed his body by his mystic power into a beautiful, handsome, effulgent young man. And then he approached a king who had 50 daughters. And he said, King, I have come. I would like to marry one of your daughters. The king gave the choice. Which of the daughters would you like? And he gave the choice to the daughters. Which of you would like to marry this young man? And they all wanted. So he married all 50 of them. And then by his mystic power, he created a beautiful palatial home for each of the 50. And he simultaneously lived with all of them. Not simultaneously. Only Krishna could do that. He could not expand himself in 50 forms. But he created 50 beautiful palatial palaces, and he lived amongst all of them. And after some years of enjoying, he had 10 children from each of them. Was it 10 or 100? 100 children from each of them. He was very good yogi. He had very enriched potency. 100 children. 500 children. And he was able to maintain each and every one of them nicely. So far, we have not yet seen one man on this earth who could keep one woman happy. What to speak of more than one or three children. He was a very great yogi. But then after years and years of living like this, he realized, what a fool I am. Simply to imitate a fish, look at what I've gotten myself into. It was so peaceful living in the Jamuna, alone. Now, my God, what an entanglement. So many disturbances to my mind. So he decided, I'm going to the forest. But this time, forget this mystic yoga, I'm going to surrender to Krishna. And so Bari Muni went to the forest, and all his 50 wives went with him. They all took vanaprast. and they all attained very high consciousness. So know that Surabhi, or Sobari Muni, he was just a very fallible human being who had simply perfected some of these fine arts of yoga. He could perform great miracles. But my God, do you think he was God? Is God bewildered by a fish? And yet if somebody could perform a little trick, a little mystic power, exhibition, ah, you are God, you are Bhagavan. Yes, 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 I will save you. Just worship me. So when Govinda approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was not even the slightest bit attracted to the idea that this might be Krishna. Huh? You see, foolish people, when they hear news about some great mystic who is performing great feats or doing much healing, and thousands of people say, this is God, we think, ah, maybe it is God. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching us that we must be fixed in the conclusion of the scripture and of the great saints, not in the sentiments of ordinary people who are bewildered. The next day, these Brahmins came to where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying at Akrura Ghat. And Mahaprabhu asked them, so we have heard that people are saying that Krishna has appeared in the Jamuna and he is dancing on Kaliya every night. They said, yes, yes, the foolish, unintelligent people, they are saying like this, but we went there to see. What it is every night there's a fisherman who takes his raft to go fishing and he has lanterns. And these lanterns are meant to light the way. And as he's fishing and moving about on his raft, the foolish people, they think that the raft is Kaliya's heads, that the lanterns are the blazing jewels on the top of his head, and that the fisherman is Krishnavatar. And then... They said, but actually, the Supreme Lord has appeared again. Because you, my dear, are a sannyasi. And when one becomes sannyasi, he becomes Narayan. Om Namo Narayan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no. Never call a living entity Narayan. And then he began to explain on the basis of Shastra, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastan indriyani prakriti stani karashati, that we are eternally part of Krishna. We are eternally his servants. That the living entity is jivatma. Krishna is paramatma. The living entity is always prakriti and Krishna is always purusha. We are meant for his enjoyment. He is purushottama, the supreme enjoyer of all enjoyers. Therefore, never, ever, ever, ever even consider that you or anyone else of this world can be God. And because he utilized so many scriptural references and such perfect logic, they were convinced. But then they went on to say, his words convinced them, and then they spoke. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the difference between an ordinary living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the people said, No one considers you an ordinary human being. You are like Krishna in every respect, in both bodily features and characteristics. By your bodily features, we can see that you are none other than the son of Nanda Maharaj, although the golden luster of your body has covered your original complexion. As the aroma of deer musk cannot be concealed by wrapping it in a cloth, your characteristics as the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be concealed by any means. Indeed, your characteristics are uncommon and beyond the imagination of an ordinary living being. Simply by seeing you, the entire universe becomes mad with ecstatic love for Krishna. And then they narrate the verses which we recited at the beginning of tonight's discourse, explaining, to say nothing of seeing you, my dear Lord, anyone who once hears your holy name, chants your holy name, even if he is of the lowest, most sinful caste, even if he is a criminal, a crook, a meat eater, simply by sincerely chanting your holy name, he becomes the greatest of all saints. Dinahina yatachilo harinam udarilo. That the holy name of Krishna is the most powerful, the most merciful of all aspects of the Absolute Truth. Because the holy name, which is impregnated with all the glory of God, can deliver even the most sinful person and awaken his love of God. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the special avatar for Kali Yuga, he rejected every other process of religion and yoga, save and except Harinam Sankirtan. And he is the supreme authority, Bhagavan. Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaham. He knows the conclusion of the Vedas. He is the author of the Vedas. And therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the verse, Harinama Harinama Hariname Bakevalam Kalona Steva Nasteva Nasteva Gatirandyata, he, being the author and the authority of the Vedas, he's particularly extracted this verse as the most important and practical of all scriptural injunctions for this age of Kali Yuga. No one has any qualifications in the age of Kali Yuga. We are all low-born, kalo sudra sambhave. Anyone who is proud of any of their qualities in Kali Yuga is insane, which means practically 100% of human population is insane, because everyone is proud. But anyone who has Krishna Varana Visa Krishnam Sango Pangasha Parashanam Jagyai Sankirtana Priyaya Jantihi Sumedisa, anyone who has intelligence in this age of Kali Yuga, they will worship the Lord by chanting his holy name, knowing that simply by chanting the holy name, Kirtanar Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambrajait, one will attain the supreme perfection of liberation. But one must learn to chant properly under the guidance of saintly persons. That is all that is required. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard these glorifications from these most fortunate men, and he heard how they were appreciating the glories of the holy name, how they understood the results of chanting the holy name, the supreme perfection of love of God. Forget mysticism. Forget miracle working. Forget healing processes. Forget liberation. Forget elevation to heavenly planets. The chanting of the holy name of God is meant exclusively for the purpose of developing one's love of God, prema. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that these persons could understand his supreme person as Krishna, and how they were glorifying his holy name, he became very merciful toward them. And right before their eyes, he revealed his original form of Sri Krishna. And then he blessed them. And what was his blessing? That instantly he invested within their heart the perfection of pure love of God. And then they began to dance and they began to chant like madmen. And they bowed down to the Lord's lotus feet with tears in their eyes, for they had attained the perfection of life. This perfection of life is available to everyone. Of course, when the Lord personally comes, he can award it instantly. We may not have that fortune, but we have even a greater fortune. We have the fortune of serving the servants of the Lord and assisting them in their mission of spreading the divine name of Krishna throughout the world. And by chanting the holy names and assisting the great souls, although we may have to undergo many tribulations, many trials, many sacrifices, the Lord guarantees that if we are honest and sincere on the path of chanting the holy names and serving his devotees, we will never have to take birth again in this material world, but we will attain the supreme abode of love, Vaikuntha. And the highest planet in Vaikuntha is Vrindavan, the land where Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in his most beautiful forms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And there, in our perfect swarup, or our perfect liberated form, our original form, we will find that all that takes place is the chanting of the glories of the Lord. It is said that in Vrindavan, all speaking is singing, all walking is dancing, and everyone's constant companion is the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
What is the hurry of going to back to Godhead in this lifetime only? You can make some progress here and later and enjoy a little bit of material life also. And you make some progress and then the next life you will take birth in some nice family, Sikhi Nam, Garak, and then Dukhan, some Italian people. What is the hurry here? Making so much travel, getting up to the block, dancing on the street at 12 o'clock at night.
Mahaprabhu wants to know what is the hurry. Really, there is no hurry. In a sense that a devotee, his ambition is not to go back to Godhead. His ambition is to simply serve the Lord and love the Lord and please the Lord, Sri Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was given that benediction by Lord Narahari. I will give you any... I will give you the fulfillment of any of your desires. I can give you heavenly riches. I can give you the 8 mystic cities. I can give you liberation. I can even give you elevation to Vaikuntha immediately. What do you want? He said, no, my lord. I only want to be the servant of your servants. And I know that what pleases you very much is to see someone taking all risks and accepting all sacrifices to help these lost children of yours in this material world to learn to love you. So therefore, I prefer, if it is according to your will, to stay in this material world until all living entities go back to Godhead, just so that I can show them the way. So our hurry is not for our own salvation. But we are in a great hurry to learn to love Krishna so that we can satisfy him. Huh? Our desire is to satisfy the Lord and give up the nonsense illusion that we are the enjoyer. If the reason you don't want to dance in the street and the reason why you don't want to wake up at 4 o'clock is because you want to enjoy eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You want to enjoy your false prestige in this material world. That so-called enjoyment is suicidal because it is the cause of all pain, suffering, and distress. It is what binds you to the repetition of birth and death. If you want to suffer the repetition of birth and death, then you may suffer the repetition of birth and death. It is your right. But if you decide you want to live according to the truth is that we are part of Krishna and we are meant for his enjoyment. If we want to live for his enjoyment, in this world, in heaven or hell, it doesn't matter. You will be happy. Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibyute swaraka pavaraka narakeshu apitulyata dharshanaha. The devotees of Narayan, they are so rare and so exalted that they do not care whether they are in heaven or whether they are in hell. It makes no difference to them. Whether they are liberated or whether they are in this world. Because they're always thinking of Krishna. They are always chanting his name. They are always serving his devotees. Therefore, they are always at peace. They are always satisfied. Because they are watering the root of the tree, Krishna. So we are not in a hurry to go back to Godhead, but we are aspiring for that most exalted position of pleasing Krishna, knowing that is our real happiness, that is our real peace. And we want to spread that peace to all living beings according to our capacity. Huh? Is there any other questions? Yes. The question is, what kind of devotee am I? The question is, what kind of, or to be, to be more specific, what kind of devotee are you? In other words, before trying to analyze the faults of other devotees, we should understand what our spiritual master wants us to do, and we should do that perfectly. As long as we're looking for faults in others, we completely overlook our own defects. So let us hear from our Guru Maharaj and from the scriptures and from the sadhus what we are supposed to do and how strictly are we doing. How strictly are we chanting the holy names? How enthusiastically are we assisting in his mission? Huh? This is what we have to ask ourselves. By this question, we make spiritual advancement. By trying to analyze everybody else, we are very much endangering our own lives because we may happen to make a mistake and commit an offense. Huh? And that is not healthy for our spiritual life. With the guidance of mature devotees, we should do the best we can according to time and circumstance, kala, desha, patra. We should apply the principles of Krishna consciousness to our life as far as possible. The basic principle is to chant the holy names, regulated, every day. Ideally early in the morning. But if that is not possible, then you do it when it is possible. Krishna consciousness is a practical philosophy. It is for everyone. Just like I have seen at New Vrindavan, there are people who are all-night guards. They have to stay up all night guarding. Huh? So for them, there's no question of waking up early in the morning. They're already awake. By early in the morning, it's the end of the night for them. So it's not a good time for them to chant their rounds because they're dead tired. They've been up all night looking for demons. Huh? So according to their particular service and their schedule, they find a place in the day where they can best chant their rounds with the most attention. Huh? So Krishna consciousness is a strict philosophy, but the strict principles of that philosophy can be applied in a flexible manner according to what we need, according to the time, the place, and the person. Huh? But do not try to justify laziness in the name of a difficult lifestyle. Krishna is in your heart. If you are sincere, you will honestly and sincerely, with great enthusiasm and determination, adhere to the order of Guru and Krishna to your best capacity. Is there any other questions?
I was cornered by some Mataji when I was left to Gwalior. And they asked one very serious question that all the Vedic literature, whether it's Ramayana, they say that Purva Pasu Nari, that means Purva Pasu
What is this all the time? There are out of 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita, in one verse, Krishna says that even Sudras, fallen Brahmins and women, even they will attain liberation by thinking of me. One place out of 700 verses. And you're saying, always talking. And Krishna's glorifying. He's saying that all living beings, whatever your position, high or low, you can attain the highest position by thinking of him. Huh? So the question is if the opportunity is not there, then we think, there's some prejudice. But if the opportunity is as much there, even more there, we should feel that this is a very great thing. This is a privilege. Not there, then we think, there's some prejudice. But if the opportunity is as much there, even more there, we should feel that this is a very great thing. This is a privilege. Krishna says in Gita that Sudras, Dina Bandhus, Dvija Bandha, that fallen Brahmins and women, if they surrender to Krishna, they will all attain the highest perfection. But it is also said, Kalo Sudra Sambhave, that everyone in this age of Kali is lower than a Sudra. So if you want to specifically speak in truth of what the scripture says, everyone is condemned as low class in the age of Kali. The men, the women, the children, the Brahmins, everyone. Huh? Therefore, there's only one hope, and that is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord by chanting his holy name. Now, if you're so proud that you're thinking, I'm so great, why is God saying bad things about me? I'm not going to surrender to him. Then you are unfortunate. But if you accept your position that you are fallen, you are low, and your only hope is the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, then you are most fortunate. Huh? In one sense, a sincere woman is more fortunate than a man, in that most men, they think that women are low class, but men are not. And therefore, men are proud, but women can become easily very humble and take shelter of Krishna. Huh? Until you realize how low you are, you will not take shelter of Krishna. Huh? So Krishna gives the women a special benediction. He makes it quite clear, you're low class. Take shelter, surrender, go back to Godhead. The men are also just as low class. But he doesn't tell us as much. Huh? But he does tell us that we're all sudras. We're all in that category in Kali Yuga. He is Patita Pavana. He is the deliverer of the most fallen. So why should we be ashamed to admit that we are most fallen? If we are, we cannot attain God's mercy. Huh? Krishna himself, who said that verse, put his head on the feet of Kunti. He also put his head on the feet of Radharani. He named the supreme planet Vrindavan, the forest of Vrinda. Vrinda was a female, a gopi. And if you want to be specific, he also named his supreme planet Goloka. Go means cow, not bull. He named his own home after the cows, who are females. And he named his abode also after Brinda, a gopi, who is a female. And he also became Yashoda Nandana. He was terrified of the whipping stick of Mother Yashoda and became her humble servant. Huh? So we are all female, spiritually. Krishna is the only male. We have to give up this bodily conception of life. And the only way to give up the bodily conception of life is we have to admit that we are fallen, that we are low, and we have to reach out for the mercy of Krishna helplessly. Huh? Now, if they are serious about spiritual advancement, we all have, the greatest opportunity, men or women. But if we're not serious about spiritual advancement, if we're simply serious about having a high prestigious designation in this world, then we may be offended by the words of the scripture, which are simply trying to make each and every one of us humble like a blade of grass. Huh? Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. The scriptures are meant for, these scriptures that you are speaking about are meant for those who are serious to go back to Godhead. Serious persons who truly want to dedicate their lives to purifying their heart and becoming lovers of God. If you're serious about simply a high position materially in this world, then don't waste your time with the scriptures. Read Society Magazine. Huh? And find out the latest scandals. And be happy. Huh? What do you want? Huh?
They corner me by saying that there are certain stories. Indra came and changes from disguise and he has illicit relation and some of them. So they say this Gautam and several stories like that. What is this? There is also scandal in this
future. Huh. But there's a difference. If you like scandals, but you still want to make spiritual advancement, you can dovetail your desire for scandals by reading the scandals of the scriptures and you will become purified. But if you read Society Magazine, you will simply become putrefied. Huh? But if you want to become purified by reading the scriptures, these scandals that you are saying in the scriptures are very, very divine lessons to teach us the proper path of life. Great souls like Indra or Brahma, sometimes when they fall under illusion, the Lord puts them in that position to show us how dangerous pride is. That if even you are the king of heaven, if you are proud of your post, you are vulnerable to fall down to the lowest activities. Only those humble servants who are always taking shelter of the Lord are protected from the influence of Maya. Huh? So these stories, they must be understood by hearing them from great souls who can give us the proper explanation. Otherwise, we simply think it's a scandal. Oh, Indra, look what he's doing. Ha ha. But actually, there's very, very deep, great spiritual benefit that you can derive from hearing these stories, because there's a very profound spiritual message behind it. Again, it is a question. Do you want to make spiritual advancement, or do you want to simply create a better, more prestigious position for your false ego in this world? Huh? The scriptures can only be understood properly by those who are sincere and who approach a bona fide saintly person with a sincere desire to learn. Otherwise, you cannot understand. In the spiritual world, we have senses and we have a mind. But these senses or mind are 100% engrossed in serving Krishna. The mind and the senses are only finding pleasure in giving Krishna pleasure. They have no selfish aspirations. Huh? That is our nature. If that's what we want, we remain in the spiritual world, where our mind and all of our senses are simply meant for the pleasure of God. But when you want to be the enjoyer by the misuse of your own independence, then Krishna gives you a material body in this material world where you can try to fulfill your desire of trying to be God by being the enjoyer. And therefore, your mind and your senses are simply addicted to sense gratification. God did not make you that way. God is simply giving the facility that you want. Huh? In the spiritual world, God made you perfect, where your mind and senses are always seeing Him, smelling Him, hearing Him, tasting Him, feeling Him, and giving Him pleasure. Huh? But you were not happy like that. You were thinking, Krishna, my senses are all meant for your pleasure, but I want to be you and have senses that are meant for my pleasure. I don't like it here anymore. I want to be God. And Krishna says, all right. Then here's a body where you can pretend you're God. God did not make you like this. You chose to be like this. Huh? It's just like the prison house is made by the state. And the state is saying, be a good man. And you do some horrible crime. And then they pick you up and put you in the prison house. And you say, why did you make me be in this prison house? Why is the government so cruel that they made me be a prisoner? Didn't make you be a prisoner. You chose to be, and they're just facilitating. Huh? Understand that this material body is a prison. And just like in the prison house, there are bars that keep you in. The bars of this that keep us imprisoned within this material body are our lusty desires to try to enjoy separate from God. But as soon as we give up the lusty desires to enjoy separate from God, sarvopadiva nirbhuktan tatvaratvena nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesa sevanam bhaktaruchyate, and use the same senses and mind you have now in Krishna's service Your mind and senses become purified. All the walls and bars of this prison of this material existence break down, and you are liberated. You are free right in your own body. Huh? Hare Krishna, thank you very much.